Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're going to wrap up some of the theme we took up this week, which was really talking about that Jesus is the only Savior of the world, that as St. Paul told us in 1 Timothy, that Jesus is the one mediator between God and man. Jesus brings heaven and earth together in his person. And because he did that, the human race has a future. The human race has a glorious and wonderful destiny. And this short life, friends, is going to pass quickly. This valley of tears and even the highest moments, the lowest moments, soon it's going to be over for everyone who's alive today. Why do I say that? Because Scripture is clear that we're all going to die soon. What an uplifting theme, huh, for first thing in the morning. We're all going to be dead soon because Scripture is clear that life is short. It's a passing shadow. We're here today and we're gone tomorrow. But we don't have to be worried about tomorrow. We don't have to be worried about that moment. We can live today in the freedom and the joy of the sons and daughters of God, no matter what circumstance we're in. Difficult circumstances are difficult, but because of the grace of God, because of Christ's presence in us as temples of the Holy Spirit, if we know it, if we believe it, we can rise above the circumstances that we're in and we can walk in joy and we can walk with a sense of purpose and vision. But the key to it is to be converted to Jesus, really, in the simplest way to put it, to have Jesus Christ as the center of your life, that he would be Lord of your life. And as Romans chapter 14, I believe it says, you know, that Jesus died so that he could be Lord of both the dead and of the living. He wants to be your Lord today. He wants you to know the saving realities that are yours, what it means to have been saved by Christ and baptized into him, living in his church and becoming part of his body, to awaken in your mind and heart the truths and the promises of God that belong to you. To be able to walk in the promises, not just to walk in the storyline of the tape that plays through our heads every morning, every day, that the tapes of discouragement, whatever those things might be, can't let go of the past, discouraged about the present, afraid of the future, whatever it is, whatever tapes run through to produce those effects in us. Friends, that's a storyline that Jesus wants to break. We don't have to live by that storyline. There's a superior storyline. There's a real truth about you, of what's unfolding in your life it's extraordinary. It's astounding. No eye has seen or ear heard what is beginning to unfold in your life. You're united to the living God who began the new creation in his beloved son, Jesus. And so what I wanted to do today was to just help us see how clear and how important it is for us to grasp with clarity the simple truth that we hear again and again from the apostles in the New Testament, that Jesus Christ is Lord. Say it with me, wherever you are. Say, 1, 2, 3, Jesus Christ is Lord. Let's say it again. Jesus Christ is Lord. Now, he's not only the Lord, but he's my Lord. That's something that is a transition that we really have to make. It's really important that each one of us confesses. St. John Paul II said, for all the baptized Catholics, need to come to the point where they affirm what was given to them in baptism and confess with their own lips and mean it from the heart that Jesus Christ is Lord. So let's say it together. Jesus Christ is my Lord. Jesus Christ is my Lord. Jesus, put the emphasis on different places. Jesus is my Lord. Jesus Christ is my Lord. Jesus the Christ is my Lord. He is my Lord. It's so important to internalize that and to live in it. What does it mean? First of all, Jesus, he is God. He's the God who saves. That's what his name means. He's the God who's come to save you. And in your baptism, he did it. He brought you salvation. So you can say, he literally is my Savior. Jesus is the Christ. What does it mean that he's the Christ? That he's Messiah. What does Messiah mean? Anointed. Jesus is the anointed one par excellence. He's the one that is anointed with what? With the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God is upon Jesus. The Spirit of God raised Jesus from the dead. And the Spirit of God, by his command, enters into the world and touches our lives and makes it possible for other human beings to share in what belongs to him. He's the anointer. He's the one who makes it possible. All power is in him. So he's Jesus. He's the Christ, the anointed one who has anointed you. And now, as John Paul II said, and other popes as well, and really the church teaches so clearly, every one of us can say, because of this, the Spirit of the Lord's upon me. He's anointed me to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim liberty to captives, and to obtain sight for the blind, to announce the year of the Lord's favor, which really is salvation. It's eternal life. It's God's gift of his Son, Jesus, to us and to the world. Finally, Jesus is Lord. And the Holy Spirit reveals that Jesus is exalted at the right hand of the Father. All power and authority belongs to Jesus. He's the judge of the living and the dead. And he reigns in heaven in that position of authority and lordship. And we already begin in being united to him and part of his body. We begin to reign with Jesus. Your eternal reign with God, your new creation life has begun here. And it's meant to be extended to people around you, lived in your heart, lived in your friendships, lived in your home, to let this truth enliven your heart, to animate your being, to fill you with confidence, knowing who you are, where your life is headed. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 9 and 10. Gather up all things. God the Father has determined to gather up all things in his Son Jesus. He raised him from the dead. He seated him at his right hand. He put all things under his feet, made him the head over all things in heaven and on earth. That means you personally, that means your home, your family, everything you put your hand to, you're living under the lordship of Jesus. And Jesus has all power to produce everything he said he would do for us. So it's important, friends, for us to make explicit this confession of the early church, this beautiful summary of what it meant, what was on the lips of the disciples and those who were following Jesus and learning Christ. Well, what did they first learn? That Jesus Christ is Lord. All power and authority belongs to him. And friends, if we personalize that and we confess it with our lips and we believe it and we express it explicitly from our heart, it will change us. Express it every day. This is the one you're living for. This is the one who lives with you and in you. And it's this one who gives you the power to live a transformed life. And it's this one who holds your destiny. Your destiny is in the hands of your Lord, of Jesus. So say it again and again. Jesus is Lord. He's the Lord. Jesus Christ is the Lord. Jesus Christ is my Lord. Jesus Christ is our Lord. That's the confession of the church. And the church lives this confession. And we become a body through the grace of the Spirit as the Holy Spirit reveals Jesus as Savior, Christ, and Lord to each and every one of us. He comes alive in us and we're animated. We become children of God. We begin to live in it. And then he gathers us with others who are living and experiencing the same thing. And we gather together around our Lord. And of course, we gather most fully around our Lord at the Eucharistic table. Oh, it's such a shame to hear the statistics of how many Catholics don't believe in the real presence. That's crazy. This is the great gift. Christ is present on the altar, body, soul, divinity. And he gathers us around that deed is represented. Jesus doesn't die again and again and again. He died once for all. But that deed that saved us, his death on the cross, is represented on the altar, and we gather around it, not only with us present in our local church, but all the churches around the world and heaven itself. Mary and the saints and everybody gather around the Son and his sacrificial offering of thanksgiving. And all of heaven is giving constant thanks and living in the reality of what that means to Jesus and the Father. All praise is given to the Father. It's so wonderful. It's so beautiful. And so the church calls us then to say, look, what's happened to you? Now go make disciples of all nations. Now go and proclaim the good news, because this is the good news. And so why does the church evangelize? Why should you evangelize? First, because this has happened to you. But the church evangelizes because she knows by her very nature she's born for mission. The Father and the Son sent the Spirit. The Spirit is a sent one who brings the power of Christ's resurrection and gives birth to the church and is the first agent of the church's mission. And it's the Spirit that animates the whole body of the church. It's like the soul. The Spirit is like our soul in the church. It animates us and gives us life and form and direction and power to fulfill it. So the church by her nature's missionary, that's first, which, and if she's not moving, wherever the church is stagnant and she's not moving, she's not living like a sent one, she's not reaching out, there's something sick, there's something's not working. She needs deeper conversion, she needs repentance, she needs to come back to the well to where she's at. So that's the first reason. Second reason we go forward is the Great Commission, because we've been commanded to. Jesus said, go make disciples of all nations. Why does the church exist? You could summarize it really simply. Love God, love neighbor, make disciples. That's why the church exists. And every one of us has been baptized into that mission, which is outstanding. It's a great privilege, but it's something that most people don't know. They're not aware of. The third reason, Scripture says, Paul puts it this way, the fear of the Lord. Why does he engage in proclamation of the gospel? Because of his healthy fear of the Lord. He says, therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade men. He knows God's holy. He knows that every person is headed for a judgment day. He knows that what is unholy cannot be united to what is holy. He knows there's only two destinies, heaven and hell. And he knows that God's justice is clear and true, and it's real. And so he stands under the holy fear of the awesome God, and he goes forward to persuade men to turn their hearts to him and give to God what belongs to God. Number four, what's the fourth reason we want to evangelize? Paul says, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we believe and so we speak. We believe that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, that sin reigns in death, that everyone is under sin, that but one has died for all, that Jesus has come to ransom us, to take away our sin, to become an expiation for our sins, to blot out our sin, to take away. He said that we know we were dead in our trespasses and sins, and by nature, as St. Paul said, we're children of wrath. But God, who is rich in mercy, out of the great love with which he's loved us, when we were dead in our sins, has brought us to life together in Christ. God's mercy has come to us. We believe it, and we believe it's for everyone, and that's why we speak it. Number five, the love of Christ compels us, St. Paul said, because the love of Christ has been poured into us in the Holy Spirit. We receive it. The Holy Spirit teaches us that we're children of God and how profoundly loved we are, and the love for others begins to percolate in us. Our hearts get tenderized, and we begin to move out and to share that love with others. And we're literally compelled by the movement of the Holy Spirit to go forward and to please the Lord. St. Paul said, we make it our aim to please the Lord. Why? Because we love him. And what pleases him is to love our neighbor and to love our neighbor in the truth and to bring the truth of his salvation to them. Number six, we evangelize because we understand what's at stake. There's no salvation apart from Christ. 1 John 5:11. God gave us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Who has the Son has life. He who has not the Son does not have eternal life. What we need, what people need for salvation is eternal life. St. John Paul II reminded us that God's mission begins in the heart of a loving father and goes forward. And the church, when she's healthy, understands all this, and she's moving. Friends, let's embrace it. Let's ask the Holy Spirit to help us and engage in this mission in this important hour in history. God bless you.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you Ralph Martin's booklet, Why Be a Christian? Lots of people are asking that question today, and Ralph speaks candidly of how he found in Christianity the truth. I believe this booklet will strengthen and encourage you in your own faith. For your free copy, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.